Psalm 17. Would you open your Bible to Psalm 17? The title of our message is Hope for the Hurting. And a lot of objections to Christianity and to even the existence of God come from what theologians call theodicy, which means how can God exist with all this suffering? And Psalm 17 is an answer which is pointing us forward to God's answer, which ultimately comes in the New Testament. What's the answer to suffering? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. God allowed us to make our choices. And that's how love works. But love also works by coming into our mess and rescuing us. And this morning is a message to those who have suffered persecution, who have suffered alienation, who have suffered abuse. And we can all testify to all the brokenness in the world that Jesus Christ is the amazing healer. Amen. As I was thinking about this, I remember the story of Harriet Tubman. She's an American hero who escaped from slavery and horrible abuse to rescue so many slaves and set them free, including her own family, and take part and really spearhead the Underground Railroad. She was a godly Christian, an amazing hero, and a justice seeker who got to live through a movement that climaxed with the American Civil War and the eventual end of slavery in America. She lived till 1913, so she saw a lot. Harriet's desire for justice became apparent at age 12 when she spotted an overseer about to throw a heavy weight at a fugitive slave. Harriet stepped between the slave and the overseer, and the weight struck her in the head. And she was a female Moses of that day. The weight hit her, but instead of destroying her, it awakened her. And she suffered for the rest of her life with terrible migraines and narcolepsy, which means that she could fall asleep at any time. But she's not defined by her abuse. She was defined by her identity in Jesus Christ. And she is such a picture of Psalm 17. As we look there, I want us to acknowledge that many of us have suffered incredible abuse. Some of us when we were younger, some of you when you're older, you've suffered abuse, intimidation, abuse of all kinds. And what can we do to help the abused? The truth is that there are deep scars that come from being taken advantage of. And it leads to all kinds of behavior if not properly dealt with. There are such lasting symptoms of abuse that your body automatically can shut down at any time. And what are we to do with these kinds of disorders that we have, like PTSD, like serious anxiety, for no reason at all? And some of these things, you know what I'm talking about, because you've suffered abuse in your life of some kind. And all of a sudden, you can become a slave to fear. And I want to set us free like Harriet Tubman. I want to show that Christ wants to use our pain, and though we have scars and we can be healed in some way in this life, our ultimate healing is when we see Jesus face to face. There is hope. This is a weighty and heavy subject, but there is joy when evil is exposed. It says in Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And that's what this message is all about. It's an exposure of the brokenness of our world but it's also a hope for healing. Let's stand together as we read Psalm 17. This is God's word. A prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. From lips free of deceit, from your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence. My deadly enemies who surround me, they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. This is God's holy, inspired word. You may be seated. So this psalm is really a prayer. And you can see in verses 1 through 6, the prayer is, hear me. I want to be heard. This wrong that's been done to me, I want to be heard. It needs to be known. And then hold me, or heal me, that is, in verses 7 through 9. Heal me. I need healing. And in verses 10 through 15, help me. Because the scars of abuse we have to deal with sometimes on a daily basis. And I want to give you hope and that there is help in God and that God has a purpose for our pain. We have to define abuse when we talk about it. When we use the word abuse, sometimes it is misused. This is not talking about a kind of, you know, getting angry and, you know, you kind of blow up or whatever. There are sometimes that does happen, but what I'm talking about is a systematic pattern in a person's life where they use their position and abuse others around them. There is physical abuse that includes any intentional act of physical violence against someone or threats of violence or persecution. And these are all found in the scriptures, instances of these. There's sexual abuse. This includes any kind of sexual mistreatment. It's also referred to as molestation, which is abusive sexual behavior by one person upon another. It is often perpetrated by force, by taking advantage of another. And it includes introducing minors to sexual material or experience. And when force is immediate or of short duration, it is called sexual assault. And then there's verbal and emotional abuse. And this includes extreme verbal manipulation or using words to intimidate, control, a pattern of manipulating another person or group of people. The Bible would recognize all these aspects of what we would modernly call abuse. And there is grace in Christ for both the abuser and the abused. Grace is amazing, but this message is primarily for those who have suffered some kind of mistreatment. It may be religious mistreatment. It may be physical. It could be sexual. It could be verbal and emotional. But I want us to have hope that when we're put into a place of injustice, that's a call from God to stand up and to say this isn't right and that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in our pain and in our suffering. This world is broken, but Christ has come to heal the brokenhearted. Do you believe that? David's first prayer is, "Hear me." The hurting want to be heard. He says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit." Often a person who is suffering is afraid to say something because they're afraid that they'll be accused of lying. And David says, in this situation, particular situation, where King Saul is abusing his authority and hunting down David as prey to murder him, David says, "I'm not sure what to do about this. This is a person in authority, and David could have killed him on two occasions, but he leaves it with God, yet he doesn't allow himself to be taken advantage of. He wants someone to hear him." And the first person that he cries out to is God. He says in verse 2, "From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right." Isn't it a wonder and an amazing thing that God looks through the earth to and fro and he beholds the evil and the good? And all of us are sinners, aren't we? All of us need forgiveness. All of us, though we may not be abusers, some of us have been, and there is hope in Jesus Christ. But listen, if you have been hurt, persecuted, abused, cry out to God. He has unfailing love. He hears you. But there's a real fear of speaking out. David cries out to God. Often, victims of violence or other kinds of abuse are reluctant to speak openly because they fear that openness will lead to retaliation by the perpetrator. And they may feel ashamed that they contributed in some way to the abuse, though they are not responsible for the violence or for the other kinds of abuse that are done to them. They may consider the problems that will come out of the abuse unworthy of an elder or a friend or a pastor's attention or a parent's attention. They may feel ashamed that their loved one could dislike them to the point of violence. Another fear, not only of retaliation, but there's fear of premature reconciliation. Because in abuse, forgiveness can be granted, but that's not the same thing as reconciliation. Reconciliation is sometimes never possible. So we need to understand that. And we are the hope of the world, the church of Jesus Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can offer hope. But there are some aspects of the scars and of reconciliation that can't even be healed until we see Jesus. So this forgive and forget mentality is a fear, because forgiveness and reconciliation are mixed together and they need to be separate processes. Forgiveness is always possible. Reconciliation is not always possible. And there's also a fear of what's going to happen. And I want you to understand that in this church, that any kind of misuse of authority, especially criminal abuse, will always be reported to the police. And you will be protected. And we will make sure that you are not in a place where you can be hurt. We are shepherds, and we are here to care for you and protect you. And so there are safe places so that if you find yourself a victim of abuse, you can come to this body and we will help you. The hurting not only want to be heard, but they want to be believed. Look at verses 3 and 4. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me. You will find nothing that is inconsistent with my testimony. I have proposed that my mouth will not transgress. I purposed, I should say, that my mouth will not transgress with regard to the works of man. By the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of violence. So David is saying that he's blameless with regardless to his language, his mouth, his life, that is the works of man, and his legacy. He says, you can test me, test my testimony, and you will find nothing. And so David wants to be believed, even by God. He knows that God knows all things. And yet he's coming to God saying, try me, test me. I don't know if I'll be believed. Saul is completely unstable. You need to know that if there's a thought that you're undergoing some kind of abuse, you need to come forward and be heard, and you will be taken seriously. Now, not all accusations turn out to be true. That is the case. But every kind of thing that is necessary to establish testimony, every kind of evidence will be gathered to vet out false accusations. But you need to understand that if something has happened to you, God will vindicate you, and we will be there to protect you. By the way, David says, I have avoided the ways of violence. He could have taken Saul's life, as I said, but he decided not to. He's not returning evil for evil. He's leaving it in the hands of the Lord, and we are to leave it not only in the hands of the Lord, but also in the hands of proper authorities. And look at verses 5 and 6. The hurting have done nothing wrong. Look at verse 5. My steps have held fast to your paths, my feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. David's not perfect. We know this. There's no one on earth who's perfect. Especially in the atmosphere of abuse. It causes you to do things that are out of the norm. David is not perfect, but what he's saying is that he is a victim that has suffered and that he's calling out for God to defend him and answer him and incline unto him. So you need to have the courage to expose any kind of abuse for a couple of reasons. Number one, you need to be able to move on and heal and help others in your life. And number two, anyone who is guilty of abuse needs to be completely exposed so that they can repent, get right with God, and be kept from abusing you or others ever again. And there is hope both for the abused and for the abuser. God can transform anyone. What an amazing prayer. Hear me, he says. I want to be heard. God hears our prayer, doesn't he? And God doesn't just hear our prayer and it goes in one ear and out the other. Often we are told some things and we say, I'm going to pray for you. And we forget to pray. When God hears something, he acts. He hears our heart. Hear me is the first prayer of David. His second prayer is found in verses 7 through 9. Heal me. When you undergo a horrible situation in your life, it can paralyze you. When you suffer injustice, it can paralyze you. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are reconciled with one another. And we are not to be paralyzed, though we may feel paralyzed on some days. It does happen. Because abuse is not normal. While there are fights between husband and wife at times, and voices can be raised. Some of you are yellers. Some of us have done things that we regret in certain arguments in different days. But using, especially as a man, though women are not guiltless, but especially as a man, to use your voice, your presence, to intimidate on a regular basis, controlling, manipulating. I'm not saying that you lost your temper one day. I'm saying this is your pattern. That is abuse. And it's not right. And whether you do that to your children, or you do that to your wife, or you do that across the board, it's wrong. And can you testify that God can heal anger? Amen? God can heal us in our heart from all of these things. But abuse is not normal. And so many children who suffer abuse, whether it be sexual abuse or whether it be anger and wrath, this kind of verbal and psychological abuse, children don't know any better and they think this is normal. And that's why messages like this are, even though they're hard, they're important in order to sound the alarm and to also give a way of escape, to say to any child, this is not normal, and there is help. Can I just say, though, that when we receive the wounds of abuse and those scars are there, that yes, this is part of our story. Sometimes we want to avoid it, but it is part of our story. But it doesn't need to define you. God makes all things new in Christ, and He can free you. He can free you from all of it. Now, some of it will, these scars will remain with you until Jesus comes, but there is always a way to use that pain, like Harriet Tubman, to do justice in the world, to injustice. So your story can link you to others who are hurting and be a connection so that you can help others and lead others to the healing that only God can give. God heals us with His love. Look at verse 7. Wondrously show your steadfast love. Isn't God's love amazing? How do we experience God's love? In the body of Christ. In prayer with Christ through the Holy Spirit. But so many times we can feel so distant from God. And we come to the fellowship of the saints. Can I just say that you will not get healing through isolation. Whether you've wronged somebody or you've been the recipient of wrong, you can't be isolated. You need the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. God heals us with His love. Can you testify that God can bring beauty from ashes? Can you testify that He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten? Can you testify that? Do you believe that? And then look at His love. It protects us. He says, "O Savior," this is verse 7, "O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand." His love saves us. It protects us. God made us with a heart that needs love. That's why so many men turn to abuse, because they don't know love. So many men have been raised without a father. Their homes are split apart. And so many of those who are in prison today, I think it's over 80%, grew up without a father in the home. And can I just say that though your father may not be perfect, we have a Father in heaven who is perfect. And He does bring us healing. And His love protects us. It goes before us and behind us and all around us, above us and beneath us. He heals us with His love. He heals us with His presence. Look at verses 8 and 9. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. God says, I love you. David says, I want to know your love. David says, keep me as the apple of your eye. The apple of the eye is the pupil. And in the Hebrew, it actually reads, the little maiden of my eye. In other words, David says, I want to be so close to you that I can see my own reflection in your eye. And God is close to us when we're hurting. Amen? You say, I don't understand this pain. I can't believe in a God who allows this kind of ugliness in the world. Listen, don't blame your choices, my choices, and so many other people's choices on God. We are all sinners. The fact that God did not immediately condemn us to hell is absolutely amazing. He sent his son into this mess to heal every one of us. Anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And when I think of abusers, I think of a man by the name of John Newton, who was the captain of a slave ship. And he says in his journals, 20,000 souls daily haunt me. What is he talking about? Isn't he in Christ? No, he's talking about the scars. He himself imprisoned West African people into slavery. And half of those, 10,000 of them, died on the way to the port. And 10,000 others were put into slavery. What did he do? Did he let it define him? Certainly the scars haunted him. And what did it do? It propelled him with William Wilberforce to go before British Parliament and inform them in great detail of the horrors of slavery to put an end to the British slave trade. So we can be healed and we can help others, but we have to know that our pain is there to push us right to the face of God, to see his face, to be the apple of his eye, to see our reflection in his eye. So he uses this word, this idea of an eye, and then he uses an idea of a wing. He says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. God not only cherishes his people, but he protects us. He says, take me up and hide me in the shadow of your wing from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. This phrase is sometimes picturing a mother hen protecting her young, like in Matthew 23. But most of all, it's used as the wings that surround the throne of God, the cherubim. And David says, you know, there's no safe place on earth. Can we all agree on that? There's no safe place on earth. But there is safety in his presence. Amen? In the very holy of holies, I want to be surrounded by the cherub wings. I want to be in the very presence of God, the manifest presence of God. And so let me ask you, how are you dealing with injustice in your life? I know you all well. Some of you have gone through such inconceivable injustice. Inconceivable. Are you letting that pain push you into the presence of God? That's where we are safe. Help me, is his third prayer in verses 10 through 15. He says, They close their hearts to pity. He's looking now at his enemies, particularly Saul and Saul's armies. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Can I just say that for those who have been done wrong, any injustice that has been done to you, that God can help you with your trauma. And some of you have undergone terrible things. And sometimes you can relive those experiences. And you're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, the trauma of your enemies surrounding you, like David talks about here, chases after you. Let me just say that we can trust God with our trauma. We can trust God with our trauma. He understands, doesn't he? Who was the most abused person in the history of the world? Who's the one who had the most injustice done to him? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's tasted of all the feelings of your infirmities, and all the injustices are placed upon him. He becomes sin for us, and we become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah! You can trust God with your trauma. We talked last week that he's going to make all things new. We can't be bound by our trauma. We are overcomers, amen? We can trust God with justice. Look at verses 13 and 14. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is this life. What? What are you talking about? He says, the people in this world who do wrong and who do injustice often are never caught. Do you know that 100,000 murders in 10 years are unsolved? That's the statistic. Every 10 years, 100,000 murderers. Well, we can't find them, but God knows right where they are. God knows right where they are. And God's going to, I think Johnny Cash said, God's going to cut them down, right? God's going to cut them down. Hey, we can trust God with our trauma. God is just. And if justice were done for all of us, we would all go to hell, right? Christ can bear our burdens. He can bear all of the evil and even, isn't this amazing, cleanse us. And some of us, the trauma is not your sin. It's someone else's sin. And there's a filth. There's a dirtiness. There's a feeling of inadequacy that comes from someone misusing their authority. And it defiles. It's not your fault, but you feel defiled. Can I just say, let Jesus bear that. Jesus is a great Savior. Amen? And he can bring justice. Look at this verse 14. It's very unusual. It says, David is complaining that the men of this world have their portion in this life. You fill their wombs with treasure. They are satisfied with children. They leave their abundance to their infants. And David is feeling like his life is in danger and that he's not going to have a legacy or an inheritance. He's feeling that way. And sometimes it is true that because of injustice, lives are taken. I've seen this. I've seen parental abuse. I've seen anger where children's lives have been taken. And they have no legacy. And it seems like so many people get away with this kind of stuff. But David knows that there's a payday someday, and that might not be on this earth. But there is a payday someday. And we need to trust God with justice. Listen, we may not be able to see full justice on this earth. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We're not called to be the bearers of justice, that is, for the sword that God has given to the government, but we are to leave vengeance to God. And God can heal us, can't he? He can enable us. And that's what verse 15 is all about. And this is what I want to leave you with this morning. David says, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." David is not defined by this injustice. He sees his identity in the face and in the righteousness of God. Isn't that glorious? Sinner, no longer be called sinner. You are a saint. You are the righteousness of God. Your identity is in Christ. You know, in Christ, I am predestined to be conformed to his image, to his likeness, this likeness that David talks about. In Christ, I am a new creation. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. I have been healed by his wounds. I have been made rich, though I am financially maybe poor. I am chosen. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am free from sin. Amen? One of the things that happens with injustice and abuse is that those scars can produce a hot, intense anger that you carry with you. And some of those scars can produce a fear that is raging, or a despair that sometimes even makes you want to take your own life. And I want you to not bear that burden alone. We're here to help you. And conformity to the image of Christ is a community project. Amen? So, as I think back to Harriet Tubman, and I think about what she did, at 12 years old, she was hit by that great weight, and she could have just given up, or she could have turned to anger or fear or despair or escape, as far as escape into this world. But she turned it to escape in Christ. She turned it to free other people out of this slavery, literal slavery, but also out of abuse. And I want to make a clarion call to everybody here today. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's be ready to bear one another's burdens. Let's not only say we believe that by his stripes we are healed, let's be healed in Jesus Christ. And let's lift up the cross so all of us can find help where we're hurting. Amen? Let's stand together as we pray. Father, we thank you for your love, your goodness, your kindness, and you know the hearts that are torn apart, that are ripped apart. And I'm asking that the love of Christ will flow out. That's our verse for the year, that the love of Christ will flow out in our hearts and bring such power and healing and direction and calling. Lord, I pray that ministries would be raised up from this congregation, helping those who are hurting. And finding healing, Lord God. Forgiveness of sin. Seeing the majestic beauty of your holiness. And I just pray that we would not be those who look the other way. Who sing a little louder so that we don't hear the cries of the hurting. But that we will be the ones to go out right in the direction of the fire. Right into the flames. And rescue those who are hurting. And bring help and hope. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.